It's World Press Freedom Day today. The date harks back to a gathering of 63 people from 38 African countries in 1991 in Windhoek, the capital of the newly independent state of Namibia. The conference in 1991 ended up with the release of a statement known to this day as the Windhoek Declaration, that an independent, pluralistic and free press is essential to democracy. And that conference is remembered as an event at which many journalists gave powerful testimony about the violence and repression that they experienced in their work. In 2026, UNESCO is marking World Press Freedom Day with another conference, this time in Lusaka, Zambia. And the tradition of journalist testimony will continue with an address by Mohamed Zakaria, a photojournalist and filmmaker known for his courageous documentation of the humanitarian crisis in Sudan's civil war. Mohamed started Dar Media Production, a non-profit media organisation based in Darfur that focuses on authentic narratives from the region and content that celebrates art, peace, culture and heritage. And I'm very pleased to say that Mohamed Zakaria joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Mohamed.
Hey.
Firstly, Mohamed, I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into journalism.
Okay. My name is Mohamed Zakaria. I'm originally from El Fasher, North Darfur. I grew up there. I studied there. I studied university in the capital, in Khartoum. And after that, I back to my home, El Fasher. The reason that why I back to Darfur again after I finish my education, because all my age in that time, staying in the capital or going abroad to work outside the country. Mm-hmm. But in Darfur, we start Dar Media Production to show to the world what's the real about Darfur and also to work with the community to build a community that's living in peace and build a good network of youth that can use media and journalism and as films and photography as a tool to promote the peace and living together. So after that, the war starts. The war in 15 April in Sudan.
Yes, the 15th of April, 2023, an absolutely crucial date. That's when the civil war began. I wonder if you could tell us about what happened on that day and how it affected you and your family.
Yes, they affected me really, really bad. And also my family and a lot of civilians in my home. In the fourth day in the war, our home was shelled. 4 people killed, and also 19 neighbors was injured, and also I and my brother were injured in that time, and the house was destroyed. After that, I start documenting how the civilians living in the middle of this war, and how this war affected them.
That must have been a very profound decision for you, Mohamed, because as you said, very early in this civil war, you and your family were casualties of the hostilities. Could you speak a little bit about what it was that drove you to document and continue your journalism in such horrific circumstances?
Yeah, because in that day, when I was hit by that shell, I was trying to help someone who injured by the shell. And unfortunately, he died in my arms while I'm trying to find a car to get them to the hospital. When I reach outside my house, another shell come and hit me also while I try to get him to the hospital. So he is died in my arms. And also there are another 3. So there are 4 died inside my house while we are trying to get him to the hospital. And after we are reached to the hospital, we didn't find any beds. We just lied in the floor because a lot of people was injured. All of them were civilian. Mm. And all of these people, my neighbors, my family, my friends, and I know all of them. So I'm not like a journalist come from outside to cover something for 2 or 3 days and back home. No, this is my home. Mm. And this is what is really happening to my people there. While I was here and see all of this happening in TV, in media, there are no news about this. Yeah, because of that and because of all I saw in that time. So I decided to write my voice. I decided to publish anywhere, social media and anywhere, just to let the world know about this. And I was work for UNICEF and MSF, Doctors Without Borders, the BBC reached me and asked me to work with them. So this was like a big opportunity for me to let all the world hear from me, from local people, local journalists, what's really, really happening in Sudan war and what really happened to my people.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Mohammed Zakaria, who is giving a testimony at the World Press Freedom Day conference in Lusaka, Zambia. And Mohammed, there's a phrase that you repeat several times in your World Press Freedom Day address. This happened. Why are those two words so important to you?
Because my home, Al Fashir, was under siege for more than almost 2 years. And from the beginning of the siege, me and my Sudanese journalist colleague was talking about this, about what's happening to that city, about what's happening to the hospital under shell by the RSF, what's happening to the children dying from hunger in Zamzam camp, and a city full of people, millions of people, even they ate the animal feed to just being alive. And unfortunately, in the end, the city was falling under the RSF control. The crimes that's happened to the civilian of Al-Fashir by the RSF. So because of that, I repeat this and I say that the world, it must make real action about Sudan war, about what's happening to the civilian in the middle by the armies in the Sudan war. Because the civilian right now, they're like the most affected by Sudan war. Not the armed people, no, but the civilian and the women and the children and all of them. Thousands of people escaped. Now, thousands of people disappear from the life. We don't know where about. We have family members, we have friends, we have relatives in the city of Al-Fashir. And after the falling of the city there, we lost connect with all of them. We saw some of them in the RSF videos, the soldiers filming them. We saw some of them killed in video, published in the social media. We saw some of them arrested inside the city of Al-Fashir. And there are a huge number of them. We don't know where they're about. So from the beginning of the war, we were asking the international community, we were asking the governments, we were asking the media to talk more about the city of Al-Fashir, because we were there and we were in the ground. We saw everything. I'm also a survivor from this war. I'm injured in the beginning of this war. I saw everything. So that's why from the beginning of the war, I was just talking about what's happening to people inside the city of Al-Fashir, because it was very, very big crisis. I didn't saw something like this in the whole world.
You also say in your address that a photo taken in April can save a life in July.
Yes.
I wonder if you could tell us about a photo you took of a woman called Gizma in the Zamzam refugee camp, which is one of the largest camps in Sudan for internally displaced people, just south of El Fasher.
Okay. I hope that the listener right now can see the Gizma photo, because they are looking directly at the camera. Gizma in Zamzam camp, I met her in April 2024 in Zamzam camp. Gizma lost three of her children due to malnutrition, due to hunger, due to disease. In just 4 months, lost three of the children. But government, they didn't talk anything about that. She lost three of the children in just 4 months due to hunger and disease. So if the world listening to us in that time, in April, we must save a lot of children in Zamzam camp. But unfortunately, this didn't happen. And a lot of children died in Zamzam camp due to hunger. We are now in 2026. And there are people dying in place in the world by hunger. Yeah, this happened. And also after that, this camp also has been under siege and under attack by the RSF, the bombs, and by the shell, by the drone. And also thousands of refugees, displaced people killed in this camp, and also there are international humanitarian worker killed in this camp.
Mohammed, it's obviously integral to your work that you go to the places where the suffering is happening and you document it with your camera. And that is very powerful. But you also are very aware of the fact that, as you say, there are places that you can't reach, stories that you can't tell. When you say that, what sort of places are you referring to?
I refer like right now to my city, El Fasher. Right now, I can't go to my city of El Fasher. And still there are people in need inside the city of El Fasher right now. And still there are people like arrested inside the city of El Fasher. And after the fall of the city of El Fasher, the news stopped to come from the city. And no one knows what the people inside the city right now going through. So I have my friend, I was talking with him 2 days before the RSF took control of the city. So after the city falling under the RSF control, I really need to go back and search for my friend and know where is him right now and if he need any help. But unfortunately, yeah, it's really, really hard. And this is really, really affect me that I'm here and I can't back home. I come back to see what happened to my neighbors. Yeah, because also my family is it's really, really hard.
Yeah. On World Press Freedom Day, a part of your message is about what journalists in conflict zones need. What is that?
Okay. Also, I have my friend, my colleague, it's called Muammar Ibrahim. Muammar is journalist, worked for Jazeera News, and he was arrested by the RSF in the days that the city is fallen. And till now, we don't know where he is. A soldier from the RSF, and they said that Muammar is arrested. Yeah, I'm really, really asked all the media organization to talk more about Muammar. And not just Muammar. In Sudan, we have numbers of journalists arrested by the armed parties, and we have numbers of journalists killed. I have my friend, also journalist, is killed in this war. So right now in Sudan, doing journalism is like very, very hard and dangerous work. So yeah, going through very, very hard time. Ask the media organizations in this hard time, I ask him to support the Sudanese journalists and the Sudanese media organizations, because the people in Sudan right now, they need food and they need of work of these journalists as well. And also they need visibility. So thank you so much that you give me this chance to appear in your radio. So we need also chance like this, not just Press Freedom Day. No, we need more attention from the world, because the Sudan is going through very, very hard time right now. And the journalists, also, the journalists, Sudanese journalists are doing well in this hard time.
Yes, great and important work is being done by journalists in a time that, as you say, is so challenging. And it is a grim irony that the work that you have to do now, Muhammad, is so affected by the conflict, when the original mission of Dar Media Production was to celebrate art and peace and culture and heritage. I noticed that last year, in January of 2025, you created an exhibition of images from the ongoing war in El Fasher called Ruins and Resilience. And despite everything you've said, it also is an exhibition focused on stories of hope that you say might be hidden amidst the sounds of war. I wonder if you could tell us some of those stories of hope, Muhammad.
Yeah. A number of people ask me why the people of El Fasher don't leave El Fasher. The city under siege, and the people inside the city don't have anything to eat and anything to drink, no medicine, no anything. Just leave. The reason about that, there are numbers of reasons. Number one, the road is like very, very dangerous for the people to go outside. All the roads is full by the RSF soldiers. They kill and arrest the people. And reason number two, the people, they tend to help each other inside the city. Anyone who thinking that I will leave the city, they are thinking about his friend or his neighbors or his relative or something like this. The people, the community of El Fasher is very, very connected. They love each other. Even in these hard times, they stay together. They open the community kitchens and everyone leave what they have in the house and come on the street to eat all of them together. And we saw like kind of this work in this very, very hard time, give you hope in the very, very hard time, in the times that people killed and they don't have medicine, they don't have anything, the people stay connected with each other, help each other. All of these things give me hope that, especially the youth of Sudan, the youth of Sudan right now, all of them like working toward peace and working to help the community. And all of these things give me hope. And I believe that these stories they can give us path to the peace.
Well, Mohammed, your faith in hope and your own resilience are genuinely inspiring. Thank you so much for speaking with us on Sunday Extra today.
Thank for you and thank for this chance and thank for the people listening to us right now. And I ask them to talk more about Sudan war. Yeah.
Mohammed Zakaria is the founder of Dar Media Production, and he's giving a testimonial at UNESCO's conference to mark World Press Freedom Day 2026 in Lusaka, Zambia.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.